you know, I was kind of surprised by the pick. If it was me, I probably would have brought some fresh eyes to the situation. But I guess in Mike Carroll's defense, he's described, I guess the playbook on him is that he's an organizational whiz, and that certainly is something the DCF needs right now. As far as what kind of changes I expect, it's hard to say. That the legislature is looking to do some major reforms right now, including boosting the number of investigators to help reduce the caseloads that each individual investigator has, and that certainly will help. But a number of critics point out that just boosting the investigatory side isn't enough, because they're looking at needing more money for mental health. And that is something that critics say really is at the root of a lot of the problems, that parents have issues and these issues aren't being addressed. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at the preventive side. It looks like the legislature this year is looking at the enforcement side of it all.
That's kind of a bigger problem than DCF can really deal with. I mean, putting more resources into mental health, that kind of goes beyond the scope of what DCF can do, right?
Well, certainly right now it is. And it's a multifaceted problem. That's a problem that DCF faces. They can throw money here, they can throw money there, but there's not enough money to tackle everything. And that's where we're going to need some community resources also helping to buttress the effort. It's an issue that people have been talking about for a long time, that mental health in this state seems to get short shrift. Mental health still has, I guess, kind of a stigma. People don't like to talk about it. You're crazy, blah, blah, blah. But the issue is mental health is a health issue, and it needs to be addressed. And we need to stop looking at it as someone else's problem. It's our problem. It's affecting people and families. It's affecting veterans who are coming back after serving this country.
In terms of the choice of Mike Carroll, you said you were a bit surprised by that. Did you have a range of other potential leaders who would have been better suited to trying to turn this organization around, do you think?
No, I didn't have a short list or anything, but it seems that, to me, if you're going to deal with a problem that has been ingrained in the situation, why not bring in someone with a fresh eye? Just last year, for instance, the Casey family did a report that excoriated DCF for a lot of fatal flaws. Mm-hmm. And they pointed out a lot of problems that needed to be addressed. And so you're going to bring in someone who was a part of the problem, in a sense, even though he wasn't obviously running the entire ship. He was one of the people who was a first mate on the boat.
Let's talk a little bit about something completely different. Donald Sterling has been eating up headlines in the last couple of days, and he's now got a lifetime ban imposed on him by the NBA. What do you take out of this whole saga?
It's been a pretty interesting week in race relations in America, with Cliven Bundy first in his social essay about the Negro, and now the remarks Mr. Sterling has made. I was, I guess, heartened by the swift and decisive reaction of the NBA, if a bit surprised that they actually enacted a lifetime ban on Mr. Sterling. I assumed they would do an indefinite suspension and a major fine. So the ban was a little more than I expected. But I think the NBA had to move quickly and decisively just because of optics with this situation. I mean, mm-hmm. Having one of your owners being vilified in social media as he was for some really egregious statements is going to put a bad spot on your brand, and certainly the NBA had to move to keep the money flowing.
Mm-hmm. I've been speaking to Orlando Sentinel editorial writer and columnist Darryl Owens. Thank you very much for coming in, Darryl.
Thank you, Matthew.